Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text, so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
But I do want to say, listen, I've got a message I'm excited to preach today as we continue with our response to the King Jesus gospel. And the way we framed this series is that our faith journey looks a lot more like allegiance to Jesus than a decision for Jesus. Our faith and our relationship with God looks a lot more like allegiance to Jesus than simply making a decision for Jesus. There is a thought in Christianity that if you can just make a cognitive decision, go on living however you want. You don't find that in the Bible. You really don't get that in any of church and Christian history. No, what you get is people daily surrendering their life, following Jesus closely, having lived with a life of allegiance towards Him. And when I say allegiance, I mean they've pledged everything. They've surrendered everything. This is the journey you find in the gospel. This is the journey you and I have been invited into. Now, all of us, come on, we all have some things we're working through. We're fumbling. I like to say we're fumbling forward. But by and large, we're looking to Jesus. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're following that invitation that He said in John 10:27. He says, listen, my sheep listen to my voice. That's what the sheep, Jesus is the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and here it is, and they follow me. We talked about follow me last week. Today I want to talk about two words. If follow me was the invitation from Jesus, then what I'm going to share today is the expectation of Jesus. And those two words are obey me. Invitation, follow me. The expectation is that you obey me. The expectation from Jesus is that you and I live a life of obedience to God. That means that we are submitted to King Jesus. That we realize that He lived, He died, He rose again, and He ascended into the heavenly realm. And He holds all power and all authority. So as His children, as His followers coming up under the rule and reign of Jesus, it's no longer just an invitation to follow Him, but once we have followed Him, the expectation is that we obey Him, that we live a life of obedience. So I want to read a couple verses, and then today I'm actually going to share some very just practical truths for you, because obeying Jesus could seem quite daunting, but can I tell you, it's God's promise over your life. It's God's calling over your life, that you don't have to fear. Sometimes I talk to people and there's this tension, there's this wrestling going on inside. Man, if I follow Jesus, that means I've got to leave behind X, Y, and Z. And I look at them and I say, I know, isn't that great? And the enthusiasm kind of dimmers from their eyes because they realize, man, there's a cost to following Jesus. But I'm here to let you know, no matter what the cost, it's worth it. No matter how high the calling of God for you to obey Him, can I tell you, every time you do, God is found faithful, time and time again. Well, I'm excited. Read with me from Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read from verses 28 through 32, Matthew chapter 21. They'll come up on the screens. You can follow along with me. Jesus, at this point, He's actually just a few scenes away from the Last Supper. He's visiting the temple. This is really coordinated. You can see him in all the Gospels. It's moments before that evening where he shares the Last Supper. But he's in this temple. And in verse 28, he says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? 'The first,' they answered. And Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John," now this is John the Baptist, "came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Jesus had a forerunner, John the Baptist, and this forerunner ruffled feathers just like Jesus did. It's actually Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And he would go, he was a prophetic Elijah, and he would go into cities. He would also be on the outskirts of the cities, and he would call people to repentance. He said, "The kingdom of God is near." And when Jesus came, he said, "The kingdom of God is here." And here's what's interesting is the religious leaders had a difficult time with this. The religious leaders thought that they kind of owned the kingdom, that they understood the Father, that they understood the ways of God better than everybody else. And they used it in such a way to create walls that would block the kingdom of God from advancing and moving forward. When Jesus came, those walls began to tear down. And Jesus, as he so often does, he doesn't call us strictly to the obedience of the law, though you will find life in that. He calls us to obey God from the heart. And that from the heart, it leads to the hand. Well, here's what's interesting. Jesus uses this parable, these two sons. Well, one said, "Nah, I don't want nothing to do with it." But then upon further realization, he changed his mind and repented. The other said, "Yes, of course, we're all in," which would be the response of the religious leaders. But then when push came to shove, they never repented. They never changed their mind, never changed their ways. And Jesus asked a simple question. Well, which one of them obeyed? Can I tell you, it's a pretty symbolic parable for much of Christianity. Not only Christianity in this culture or in these times, but Christianity throughout history. You see, upon the knowledge and the good news of Jesus, sometimes there could be a quickening to make an adjustment, a quickening to believe. But then in the subsequent days or the subsequent seasons of life, the decision we made doesn't feel or seem as convenient as it did upon its arrival. And so while we're quick to, "Yes, God, yes," what we find is our lifestyle is not marked by a slow, patient, steadfast obedience to God. But that is what Jesus is calling for you and for me. And notice that in the kingdom of God, the marginalized, those that the religious leaders considered on the far fringes of society, notice that upon Jesus' arrival and upon the good news and him inviting them to take part in the kingdom, Jesus shares quite simply, they were like, no, we don't want this. But then as the kingdom of God does, that little bit of yeast works its way through the whole batch of dough, just like it does in your and my heart, till we realize, oh my goodness, this is what life is. To live for God, to obey him, and to see his kingdom come upon earth. And so you and I, in our day-to-day living, we can oftentimes find ourselves in a wrestling
match.
This is what the Apostle Paul would find and eloquently put in the book of Romans, right in the middle of the book of Romans. Paul talks about this wrestling, like, man, I know God's wanting me to do this, but I know I want to do this. And it's, you could call it the battle of the flesh. And it's when we're kind of in this tension, in this battle. Let me tell you, and ease your mind, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. But my prayer and my hope for you is that daily, day by day, you would live in a place of sweet surrender to God. That when you hear his voice, when you listen to his ways that he's called for you to live, that you would find yourself walking in obedience. I've heard this very early on, but in the middle of the word obedience is that beautiful three-letter word, die. And that just make you feel good this morning. That just makes you feel, man, I'm so glad I joined online church so I can come and die. You know, but Jesus realizes it's not partially, hey, let's try to disciple the old man. Let's try to disciple. No, Jesus said, hey, let the old ways die. Take up your cross. Follow me in the new ways. So I want to spend a few moments because obedience isn't the most popular subject matter these days. It's not exactly something, you know, that we like to share all the time. We do. I do. Because I know that our obedience to Christ leads to life. It leads to the life that he's called for you and I to have. And so I wanted to share practically with you, practically, three ways, or what I would call three kind of nudges that I would give you this morning in a life, or towards, excuse me, a life of obedience. I've kind of framed this in that way, towards a life of obedience. This is really where the rubber meets the road of our journey of faith, that God continues to usher us in, not into just a decision, but he has invited us to become disciples of the living God, that we would be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That is really when we are living that way, we are the salt of the earth. We are the city on a hill when we walk in obedience to God's ways. And so over the years, I've experienced this personally. So what I'm going to share comes from I live it, not perfect, but I live it in these three specific ways. But for some of you, they may be new. For some of you, my prayer is that a light bulb goes off today, because there oftentimes could be wrestling matches with our faith and our trust and our allegiance to Christ and with our faith, trust, and allegiance to the things of this world. I want to tell you, the good news is it doesn't always have to be this way. That you were destined, you were coordinated by God to live as his daughter and as his son. And what I mean by that is that when people see you, they see the very identity of God on display to the world around them. And so, if you're willing, track with me through these three thoughts. All of them are going to be very, very practical. And I hope they serve as a reminder, or for some, an announcement of living the abundant life that Christ has ushered us into. So first, I want to talk about this way of living towards a life of obedience. So I'm going to make a presumption that you are wanting to live a life towards obedience, not a life towards disobedience, but a life towards obedience. Well, the first thought is, be wise in the company you keep. Be wise in the company you keep. Let me say it one more time. Be wise in the company you keep. I think many times people in their faith walk don't realize how important the company they keep is. Have you ever noticed, maybe you're a little bit like me, but you buckle to peer pressure. You buckle to opinions of others. And so have you ever found yourself promoting a food you didn't really believe in? You know, like, or that you didn't really enjoy. Like, you could find yourself, because everybody loves it, because everybody thinks it's the world's best, you find yourself almost unknowingly saying the same thing. Well, what is that? That's the influence in the company you keep. It's the influence of others. Or you find yourself getting into a band or a musical group. Why? Because top radio has it. And you found yourself listening to it. Well, in a much greater way, the company you keep has a direct impact on your spiritual walk. It's amazing how negativity attracts negativity. It's fascinating that gossipers usually don't live in isolation. I mean, they gotta have people, right? Disunity gets sown with people like-minded, right? That's a lot of times how we live. But can I tell you, the same is true for the good of our spiritual lives. That if you are living in company, if you are connected in relationship with people who declare the truth of God over your life, who declare the promises of God over your life, who speak words of faith, who speak words of hope, who speak words of healing, isn't it remarkable that it's just like, my goodness, I just feel like I'm growing. I just know that there are decisions I would have made, but now I make them differently. What is that? More than likely, it's the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 through 44, Paul's writing to an early church. I mean, you talk about a church that had some issues. The Corinthian church had some major, major issues. And he has just given this discourse, these early church theology is all the way through, especially on the resurrection, all the way through 1 Corinthians 15. But then at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul shares these wise words. He says, bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. Come to a sober and right mind and sin no more. For some people have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. What Paul's doing in that moment and in this letter is he's calling them up. He's inviting them up. That somehow, for some of you, you've been infiltrated and you didn't realize. But you need to know that the voices in your life determine the vision for your life. And in case you haven't realized this, everybody's got a plan for how you should live your life. Everybody's got a vision for your future, from your closest family members to your distant cousins that you see once or twice a year. But what God calls for us to do is to walk wisely, to be people of wisdom, to live a life full of forgiveness, to live a life full of forgiveness, to live a life full of healing. We've got to be around forgiven people and people who forgive and healed people and people who heal. How's your closest group? How's your closest group? I'm not saying everybody needs to be on the same boat, but do the most important voices in your life, do you give them the greatest room? Are they followers of Christ? Have they made the hard decision? There's lots of good advice, lots of good wisdom out there, but I'm telling you, the long haul, the steady, faithful, long obedience in the same direction, we've got to use wisdom with our company, the people we keep in our life. Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:20, I have seen people come to faith in Christ, come to trust him, walk in his ways, only been unwilling to set up some boundaries in their life, and they've crippled their faith because of the company that they've kept. Consider the company you're keeping. Do you have people spurring you on to faith? I'll tell you one way to do this, and this is my shameless small group plug, is to have a small group in your life. to have people you connect with on a weekly basis. People that are for your marriage, that are encouraging. You can get plugged into our Love and Respect marriage group, but people that are for your faith. We've got a Sunday night Bible study talking about heaven. I mean, you can get, we got, you think it, we got it for you this summer semester. And it's not about just joining a small group for brownie points. No, it's the practical implications of having people in your life who can pray for you, who can call out the destiny and the blessings of God over and in your life. It takes intentionality. It takes moving beyond our feelings. Because quite honestly, none of us feel like adding one more Zoom call to our week. But can I tell you, we need it like never before. It's the company we keep. There are a couple other areas. And these, for some of you, will be quite obvious, but they need saying. Towards a life of obedience, we use wisdom with the company that we keep. But I also know that we have to live with a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Living with a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you know the sound of His still, small voice? When He says go, when He says stay, when He says shift, when He says give, do you know what that voice sounds like? So often I found that people were led to the scripture alone. They weren't led to a relationship that's thriving, that's abundant, that's yielded to the actual voice of God. This is what you and I were created for, to live with a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I know some of you, I won't bring up your story, but I've heard it on how God in moments, you didn't know why, but you were just driving and He whispered something and you obeyed, and sure enough, there was a divine connection on the other side of your obedience. Or you don't know why, but God, in one of your quiet times, He begins to invite you to begin praying in such a direction, and the next thing is you land up on the mission field. Well, you didn't see that coming, but what was that? That was our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Living a life surrendered, living a life leaning in and listening to His voice. I remember my wife walks with a great sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and I remember several years ago now, the Lord gave her a vision which we have held on to and applies to the times we are in right now. He had given her a picture of a hurricane, and in the middle of the hurricane is the eye of the storm, and how the Lord was going to have our church, but also our lives in the middle of the storm. And here's what happens. Even though there was a hurricane, there was chaos swirling around. Can I tell you? God whispered His peace in the moment. And she's held on to that. We've held on to that for years now. But can I tell you, what is that? That's a little bit of living sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I believe part of the heartbeat of our church is to equip you and to empower you to live sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That you can believe it or not, you can encounter God while you're pumping gas. And He asks you to walk into the store and pay for somebody else's gas and to share God loves you. There's all sorts of things God is up to. It's just, are we living sensitive to His Holy Spirit? And if you're asked, well, how do I get that going? Get a prayer life going. Maybe put the Bible plan down. Pick up some worship music and spend time in God's presence. Sometimes we're so visually and intellectually stimulated that we have lost sight and lost track of the small voice of God. He wants to talk with you. He wants you listening. He wants you leaning into His presence. In fact, let me invite you, these next 2 weeks, as a church, we're going to be partnering with Unite 714. Some of you have been doing that. I want to encourage you, it's leading up to Pentecost Sunday, found in Acts chapter 2. It's the church holy day where we celebrate the birth of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, that's God's longing for our lives, is that we live presence-minded. So I want to encourage you, every morning at 7:14, pray with us. That can be your prayer time, getting with God, hearing his voice, praying for a shift locally, nationally, and globally. It's living with that sensitivity to the Spirit. I love Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. The words will come up. I'll read them off my notes. But Paul says this, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. Paul, get your point across. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things, I don't know, you think we should keep going? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Prayer keeps us humble. Prayer keeps us in a place of humility, because what prayer does is it raises our dependence upon God and his ways, his truth, his hope. It's found through Jesus. Third, sensitivity to the Scriptures. Part of our walk with God is living sensitive to his Holy Scriptures. Living with his thoughts, living with his ways. Though they are higher than ours, can I tell you, the Bible clearly points to our ways of living. One of the scriptures and passages, portions I hold dear to my heart is Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is sharing how to inherit and how to live in the kingdom of God. Easy stuff, by the way. It's like, love your enemies. Psh, easy. For you Republicans, love Democrats. Easy. For you Democrats, love Republicans. There you go. Stepping on toes. Have fun. But Jesus invites us to live not in our ways, but in his ways. Matthew chapter 5, man, it doesn't just say don't murder. It says don't even create that pathway in your heart. Forgive, be reconciled, be healed. That's what I mean when I say a sensitivity to the Scriptures. Yield your knowledge, your understanding, trust in God's ways, his word over your life. The invitation last week was to follow me. We looked at Jesus' invitation to follow. He called his earliest disciples, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. He said, guys, come follow me. And here's what they did. They gave up. They relinquished their nets, and they became fishers of men. That's the invitation. But can I tell you, Jesus' expectation was for them to obey him. That's God's expectation of you. I know we fumble forward. Can I be the first to say, you will make mistakes. I make mistakes. But here's what we're doing. We're continually living a life of humility, of repentance, and we're fixing our eyes on King Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So my prayer for you is that you would allow the Holy Spirit to quicken within you. Start looking around. Who is the company I keep? Start looking around. Am I walking with a sensitivity to His Spirit? And then am I walking and yielded in a sensitivity to the Scriptures? Those three areas will transform your life. They will transform the destination of your life. Let me end with a moment of prayer and conclude our time together. God, again, we say thank you. God, again, we say you are the lover of our soul. For some of us, God, we're returning back to you even now. We've been reminded of the call of God over our life to walk in obedience, not to surrender to the principalities and powers of this world, but, Lord, to joyfully surrender to your ways. As always, God, we pray that you would investigate our heart. Father, you would quicken any way within us, God, that is not built upon Jesus. We ask that you would forgive us, God. We repent. We turn our ways. We change our mind. And we choose to follow you. Let me say one final blessing. Lord, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I thank you that today some are carrying heavy weights. The reason I thank you, God, is because you will carry them through this moment. You will lead them through this season. I pray for your blessing to be upon every person, that they would know that you are for them, that they would know that you love them, that they would sense your presence in a new way. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, even in the midst of this pandemic, God, of how you are drawing people close to you. Thank you for doing that even now with our lives, God. We need you. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for taking a few moments today to worship, to pray, to celebrate the goodness of God and to grow in your faith. Sign up for a small group. Maybe the next page you open isn't another Facebook notification, but it's get plugged in to a small group. I'd love to connect with you soon, and we look forward to here in a few weeks gathering together in person. Have an amazing Sunday. Have an amazing week. We love you. Talk soon.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.